Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we'll feature the candidates for State House District 6. During tonight's forum on KSRM, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here is your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Merrill Sikorski.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to KSRM's Candidate Forum. Everybody's going to take a deep breath. It's only a week away, but we want you to pay attention because all the things that you may have heard, the ads you may have seen, all of the opinions that your neighbors may have can all come down to answering the questions that we are going to put forth here tonight. And I appreciate you listening. I appreciate all these candidates for stepping up and wanting to be the government that will provide our needs in the future. Our candidates are Ginger Bryant. She is not affiliated with a political party, Louis Flora, who is also nonpartisan, and Sarah Vance, the only Republican in this race that is affiliated with that party. Now, ranked choice applies, obviously, for each of you that are ranked number one, so you will be able to rank in this race. So what we're going to do is, before we get to the questions, is let each of the candidates introduce themselves and give us a 60-second opening remark, and we will start with the incumbent, Sarah Vance.
I'm Representative Sarah Vance. I've been serving you for 4 years. You can reach me on a variety of social media, but I encourage you to get out the vote. We have voting early that is available across the district right now, and then again on Tuesday. But it has been a pleasure serving you these past 4 years, and I look forward to another two.
Thank you. And now we'll move over to Louis Flora, nonpartisan. 60 seconds to open up, please.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for having me on again on this KSRM. I really appreciate being able to talk to the peninsula on this forum. My name is Louis Flora. I grew up in out East End Road. I've been a lifelong salmon gillnetter and continue to fish in Bristol Bay with my family. And I'm running in this race because I want to ensure that our fisheries, I want to be a strong voice for our fisheries. I was a legislative staff member for a decade, and so I have served on the Fisheries Committee and the Resources Committee, as well as state affairs and education. So I do have a strong interest in educational outcomes for our students and seeing a strong strong budgets and a strong education system. Thank you.
Thank you. And this district is the Southern Peninsula mainly, but also comes all the way up to Sterling and places in between. So those who you are listening will know that it'll be on your ballot or won't be on your ballot. And opening remarks now we will have from Ginger Bryant. Ginger.
Well, once again, thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate KSRM for doing this. I'm the new kid in the block, so most of you probably haven't heard a lot about me, but I am a 30-year veteran of the conflict resolution, and I know how to bring people to the table and get all the different information flowing. And so it's the idea of everybody in the Alaskan Circle. So I am the candidate that believes that everybody in the Alaska Circle, we need to make us all strong. We do that through empowerment and education. And when we are strong, then our state and us will be strong. And that's what I'm here for. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now we are going to change up the first person leading out with the questions so you all get a chance to go first while the other candidate is thinking about it. But rank choice seems to be on everybody's mind, and indeed Tuesday we will be using rank choice. There are three candidates here. So if rank choice is applying in your race, which it is, the question of you is not why should the voter rank you first, that's obvious, but why would you say to the voters why you would want to be ranked second or third? And we'll start with you, Louis.
Yeah, I think I've been to a forum that Sarah put on, Representative Vance, and I like how she said, you hold your nose, you know, you're going to pick the candidate, you're going to rank the candidates, and it might not be your top choice, but it is, you know, if you don't rank, then you take yourself out of the discussion after the first round, and so it's really important to rank, look at the value system that's been put forward by the candidate, and look at what they're proposing for the state legislature and directions, and then just vote your conscience. But it is important to rank, because if you don't rank, like I said, you make your vote, and then if your candidate does not pass that first round, then your voice is not heard in the second round.
Okay, and Sarah, the same question: why should people vote for you or rank you second if they haven't voted for you first?
That in my particular race, this comes down to worldview, and I'm the only Republican in the race, and I believe that ranking me first is going to be the representation that has happened in the last two elections. And I don't think that ranking is probably going to be as much of an issue in this particular race. So ranking me second shows that I don't represent your worldview. However, I've continued to do what's right for Alaskans, not based upon party. And that's something that I think voters should consider, because I'm much more than the party, than a Republican. I'm an Alaskan. However, I think it's going to come down to an overwhelming majority on a particular candidate. And so I don't think ranking is going to be implemented in this race.
Okay, well, thank you. And Ginger, the same question. Why should somebody vote you second or rank you second if they didn't rank you first?
Well, I believe that as Alaskans, we are complicated. That there's no person that I have talked to yet that puts themselves squarely just in one camp or the other. I think all the issues are confusing and dynamic and changing, and the views are all over. So you might like a Republican for these things, but then there could be some things that the Democrats have well. But I'm finding that most people are Alaskans, and their opinions come from someplace else. They don't come from the Republican Party, and they don't come from the Democratic. They're coming from what Alaskans need. So I am the person who has, that I feel, is pretty much dead center. I am Alaskan. I'm running as an Alaskan because I am Alaskan. And if as many Louis voters would vote for me second and as many Sarah voters would vote for me second, then I would know I've done my, what I want to do is bring our circle closer together. And that's what I'm going for.
Okay, thank you, Ginger. And this is kind of a follow-up question. I'll let you go first with it. Alaska doesn't like party politics, yet when you get to Juneau, you will organize into a majority or a minority along party lines. And when I say Alaska doesn't like party politics, that means because 60% of the voters are either independent or nonpartisan. Which party lines will you organize along if you are successful in winning the seat?
That's easy. I'm an Alaskan, and I'm going to work with the Alaskans. I don't mean to demur on the question. I guess if I had to choose, I'm probably, as Sarah pointed out, probably a definitely more Democratic. But, hey, we're going to have at least 5 to 8 new people there. And if we could all get a third caucus going, and maybe us nonpartisans will have enough to have our own caucus, and we can really just focus on what Alaska needs as Alaskans, not as Republicans or Democrats. That's kind of outside talk. I'm here for Alaskans, and I'll caucus with Alaskans.
Okay, thank you, Ginger Bryant. Now let's run over to the incumbent, Sarah Vance, on that same question. You know what it's like to organize, and you know party politics plays in Juneau, even though it may not so much with the voters. So how would you plan on organizing along party lines?
I'm going to do what I was originally elected to do, and that is to the caucus with the Republicans. I've continued to do that for the past 4 years, and you're right. There's only two buttons in Juneau. It's right or left. And when it comes to caucusing, I want to caucus with the Republican worldview that's building a strong economy. It's creating a sustainable, balanced budget and prioritizing the full PFD. And I think that's something that we can do as Alaskans. It looks like that we have a high potential of a Republican majority in the House again. Alaskans have continued to elect the majority of Republicans, but I will continue to stay with my party because I share the worldview. But I'm still willing to work with anyone on good policy. And we've done that the past several years on things that didn't necessarily look Republican. So I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing and Republican caucusing with the House Republicans.
Thank you, Sarah Vance. And Louis Flora, you are a non-affiliated party person. When you get to Juneau, if you're successful in having that seat, how will you organize?
Well, right now there's a tripartisan majority comprised of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents that is the majority coalition in the House. In the spirit of bipartisanship and getting work done across the aisle, I would seek to build and broaden that coalition and bring over other members of the Republican minority. They've been organized now in a rather inflexible manner, and so there hasn't been the ability for the Republican voice to craft budgets and work on items that are of importance to the whole district. And so I would work to bring over more moderate Republicans into the majority to build the majority. We have Alaska's governor, there's a veto that the governor has on budget items, and it takes a three-quarter majority to override a veto. So I would love to see a coalition built that can have more power as legislature vis-a-vis the governor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Louis. Now we're going to take our first break. You're listening to KSRM Candidate Forum for District 6.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Merle Sikorski here with District 6 candidates Ginger Bryant, Louis Flora, and incumbent Sarah Vance. Now, it's been the topic of the campaign, ranked choice voting, and not whether you support it or don't support it, but the question is, if you don't support ranked choice voting, what would you support to replace it? Louis, we'll let you take this one first.
I think that it needs to be put back to the voters if there's a concern in the district, and I personally would like to see it ranked choice perform. We've only had, this is our first election where we're exploring the new statute that the voters passed, and so I would like to see it pass, go through an election cycle, and so I would not support repealing it, but I think if there is a significant concern, it should be put back on an initiative for the voters to decide.
Thank you, Louis. And Sarah, the same question. A lot of people want to see ranked choice voting go away. What should replace it?
We need to return to one person, one vote. The number one issue that I've been hearing from people across the district is what can we do to get rid of ranked choice voting? I believe that I've made that my top priorities is getting back to the system that we had before. I am hearing from some people that they do like open primaries because they like to have all the options on one ballot. So I'd love to hear from people if that's something that they would like to keep. But there is a distinction between the open primary option and the ranked choice. And I think that's something that people have been combining into one issue, and they are distinctly different. So I do have a bill that is being drafted that just puts things right back to before ballot measure 2 passed that brought us ranked choice voting. But I would love to hear from people of what their thoughts are on an open primary to have all of the primary candidates on one ballot.
Thank you, Sarah. And Ginger, the same question. People didn't like the primary the way it was before. They don't seem to like ranked choice voting. If we repeal it, what should we put in place it with?
Well, I'm here because of ranked choice voting, because if it was just a choice or a B choice, you wouldn't have three and four voices. And I am for more voices, more choices. And just because you have a richer, deeper voice that you can lend doesn't mean you're taking away your voice. You can just make your voice richer and deeper by ranking. So you still have one voice. You just get to have more choices in your voice and more nuances in your voice. And I think that's important. And I think as we move along, just having Republicans and Democrats sending one person up there and then everybody else maybe can write in something, this is a much better way. And this is the way of the future. There's going to be more voices, especially in Alaska. And as we move forward, the opportunity to have more voices, first times are always hard. As Brené Brown would say, frickin' first times, basically, that we just need more choices. We can get through this. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Ginger Bryant, and she'll go first on the next question. The other issue before the voters is going to be whether or not to have a constitutional convention. If ConCon fails, do you have a specific amendment to the Constitution that you'd put forward for ratification?
Convention does not come to pass because I think it's an amazing document that we have, and I want to see it continue. I think it holds us all in a really solid, sacrosanct place with each other. I like the rules that we have, but if it fails and I get to be there, I've heard a lot of people trying to go at our privacy, and I don't want to escalate things, but I do want to make sure that our privacy remains sacrosanct and exactly as it is. And if I needed to codify the abortion rights or codify who we get to marry or codify what that privacy means, I would definitely do that.
Thank you. Louis, the same question to you, Mr. Flora, is if ConCon fails, do you have a specific amendment that you'd put forward for ratification?
I'm opposed to the Constitutional Convention, but I would like to see a constitutionalization of the permanent fund dividend, and that I would work towards that. And I think there's been a lot of consensus in the legislature that needs to happen in order to make it so it's not a political football every year. So I think that there probably will be something that moves forward. But if you just open the Constitution, it's a, you know, for a convention, it's plenary. So everything's on the table, all items in the Constitution. And that's why, you know, large sections of the business community are opposing it, because it would create too much economic instability in Alaska. And like Ginger said, the right to privacy is critically important. So I think, you know, for keeping out government intrusion in our lives and protecting the freedom of reproductive health in Alaska. So I'm a definite no vote on a convention, because I think there's far too many unknowns.
Thank you. And Sarah Vance, on the Constitutional Convention, if it were to fail, is there something you feel that should be amended in the Constitution that you'd be willing to introduce?
I do, and I've been supportive of an amendment that would change the way that judges are selected and appointed in Alaska, because we aren't even at the federal standard of providing balance. And I think that that is probably the largest issue that we need to address in the Constitution right now.
Okay, thank you. And I ask you first the next question. With everyone from law offices to healthcare to pizza parlors looking for employees today, what do you see as the legislature's role in filling the labor market in Alaska?
Well, I tell you what, even the legislature is looking for people. To everyone is looking with the state of Alaska. I mean, we've been having issues with getting our roads plowed because we didn't have enough people working in DOT. So I tell you, there's a lot of great jobs out there. But the first thing of the state's role is to simply get out of the way and not continue to create policies that discourages people from going back to work. There's a lot of great opportunities right now in the job market, and the state needs to look at reducing regulation and encouraging businesses to help provide for childcare, housing, in whatever way possible, and possibly creating incentives for businesses to be able to provide housing and childcare. That's some of the issues that we're hearing about on the Lower Peninsula. And just really helping create a path for education as well, for job training, to help get employees where they need to be in the workforce.
Okay, thank you. And Ginger Bryant, the same question. It's not jobs for Alaskans. It's how do we find Alaskans to go to work in these jobs? And what would be the legislature's role if you're elected?
I believe that we need to grow our workforce. And we need to start with who's here. And we need to empower them. We need to just engorge our trade schools with as many opportunities as we can, and dollars create opportunities. We need to let our young people know that we are about to explode with opportunities, and they are the ones that, if they get themselves trained and ready, they will be the leaders and the mentors quickly. Because what I would like to do is I would like to flip it so we have an in-migration of young women between the ages of 18 and 25, people who have that Alaska spirit, that let's go have a big life that we can't get outside. Bring them on up. Have them grab their girlfriends. Let's get them trades. Let's have them working as quickly as possible. Let's have our businesses creating internships and apprenticeships that they can come up here and they can do. So I want an in-migration of all people that want a big Alaskan life.
Thank you, Ginger. And Louis, does government have a role in trying to find Alaskans to fill these jobs?
The legislature can fund budgets, and it does, to bolster the university system and the education system. And, you know, we need to look at the problem of teacher retention. We have the problem of the defined contribution system, and that's causing a number of young people that would be teachers in the state to leave because they don't have a retirement, defined benefit retirement system. So we need to look at that holistically, the whole, you know, all public employees, create a rich system like we had before when the state was being built, to retain Alaskans. We're seeing a big brain drain of folks moving out of state because of the debacle of the Dunleavy budget cuts. And so we need to look holistically at our budget. We need to get fiscal stability and rebuild our workforce, and also fund trade schools and education system. And I also believe the fisheries are a huge, huge employer of Alaskans. And so we really need to get to the bottom of what's going on with the crash and the crab stocks and everything.
Okay, thank you, Larry. We've got a hard news break coming up here in 60 seconds, but I'm going to ask Sarah the first question. If we get interrupted, we'll come back and let you finish up. But the Supreme Court has returned the abortion issue to the states. Do you or would you support any changes in Alaska's abortion laws?
I believe that the state already had that authority. We just didn't utilize it. But yes, I do believe that life is valuable. It is precious, and that it needs defending, and the legislature should define that by law.
Okay, and we will be back after. Okay, we've got about 30 seconds. What I'm going to do is promo the next candidate forum that's going to be coming up at the top of the hour, and that is for the Senate seat for District C, and we will have with us for that Senate seat Heath Smith, Walter Jones, and Gary Stevens. You've been listening to the candidates that are running for District 6, Ginger Bryant, Louis Flora, and Sarah Vance on KSRM Candidate Forum 2022.
Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we'll feature the candidates for State House District 6. During tonight's forum on KSRM, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here is your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Merrill Sikorski.
We're back, everybody, and we're talking with our District 6 candidates for that seat, which is the southern end of the peninsula, except Sterling and Kisilov is included. The question that we left off with before the news break was regarding the Supreme Court's action to return abortion issues to the state, and would you, if elected, have or suggest any changes in Alaska's abortion laws? Louis Flora, the question's to you.
And I support reproductive health and reproductive choice in our for our population. You know, I have young children, or not young, but high school age children, and I think that, you know, having education, sex education in the schools is helpful in reducing the instances of pregnancies. I think if we want to get really at the issue of reducing abortion, which I believe we all do, we need to really strongly focus on education and provide having the availability of healthcare. But I would not support any motion, any legislation in the state that would restrict reproductive health freedoms for our population. And I also, like I said, I do not support a constitutional convention that would seek to repeal our right to privacy, which is what our reproductive health has been founded on by, you know, or been interpreted by the state Supreme Court to revolve around the right to privacy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Ginger, the same question, any changes that you see that Alaska needs to make in its abortion laws?
Well, the only thing that we need to do right now is we need to codify it. We need to say that a woman's right to choose is a woman's right to choose. She can talk with her board of advisors, she can talk with her partner and her healthcare people, but it's hers. What she decides at 2 a.m. and who she decides it with, it's got to be up to her. I've worked as an advocate for years, and I've worked with women that have looked at me and said, I love my children. I've got four, but I'm looking at 50, and this is going to kill me if I have this one, and I don't know if we're going to make it. And I've worked with teenagers, and I've worked with them to help their parents know that that was her choice, and that's what she wanted to do. Whatever the woman's choice is, I am for that choice. They need to be safe, legal, and rare, but they need to be our choice, her choice, and only their choice. Thank you.
Okay, moving on, Ginger, you'll go first with this next question. What do you see as needed to improve education in the state of Alaska, and do you support forward funding for education?
I am absolutely for education, and you have to know that I will fund it to the best of my ability. I will get as much money flowing towards education as I possibly can. I think that is the throttle forward. We need to get everyone in our circle educated to the best of their ability. And I believe in rights and responsibilities. And I think it's our responsibility as Alaskans to remain lifelong learners. And I believe it is the legislature's duty to make sure that every Alaskan can be educated to the utmost of their ability. And it's their responsibility to do so. Funding forward, everything needs to be pro education. Thank you.
Okay, we're talking to our District 6 candidates, and I misspoke myself. Sterling, that's the Senate district is in C, includes Sterling, right? No? Sterling, you're not going to be voting in this candidate. Okay. But it is the southern end of the peninsula. Okay, now we are over to Louis Flora, and the question is regarding education from the state of Alaska, and do you support forward funding of education?
I support forward funding. I know the courts have struck down the ability of to future legislatures forward funding unless they have the funding in hand, and so I think that would be something to work towards. It's always a tough act, though, to get the legislature to provide additional funding up forward. But I would support it if we can afford that. I think we need to look at the teacher retention issue and define contribution and provide a good pension system for our teachers. And I think we need to put a lot of funding into pre-K because, early education, early reading outcomes, anything before the third grade is really considered the fundamental foundation of your future learning. So I think putting more resources into pre-K and teacher retention, and then looking at increasing the base student allocation.
Thank you. And Sarah Vance, you've been there before. What do you see the state needs to do to improve education, and do you support forward funding of it?
Well, one of the things that we just recently passed in this last session is the Alaska Reads Act, because we have seen that our children are not up to standard for third grade reading, along with so many other areas. And that was a bill that I was happy to support that also provided for pre-K grants for those districts that do need it the most, and empowering teachers and giving them the education and support that they need with reading specialists. So I'm looking forward to seeing the positive impact that that's going to make on our schools. I did support forward funding of education this year because we were seeing that we were having the oil revenues to pay for that. But I think that that's something that we need to look at to make sure that we do have the funding in place. But something that people often misunderstand is thinking that the education could be not funded. And that's simply not true, because it is done based upon a formula that does get funded by law every year. And we need to know that education will be funded every year and that we can continue on that path.
Yeah, thank you. And now that we've established that this is the southern end of the peninsula for District 6, Sarah, you'll go first on this question. The Homer Large Vessel Port expansion would bring wide-ranging economic benefits to that region. What specific steps, as a House representative, would you take to move that expansion forward?
Oh, this is a project that I'm very excited about. And last year, I knew that we needed to get the Army Corps funding, match funding on that. And I worked ahead and went and talked to Senator Michicki about that, because, and with our senator, knowing that we needed to get that funding in place to take advantage of federal dollars. I'm going to continue to advocate that and work with our senators, because the capital budget originates in the Senate, to see what we can do to prioritize that. But I've also spoken with Mayor Bronson of Anchorage as he's putting the pitch for our Port of Alaska, and getting the conversation about the overall support that we need to have for all of the ports, that they are not in competition with one another, but that they are supportive together as a whole. And so I've been advocating across different voices on the importance of the Port of Homer and how important it is for the entire region.
Thank you, Sarah Vance. Now, Ginger Bryant, the same question, the Homer Large Vessel Port expansion. As a legislator, what would you do to move that expansion forward?
I would try and get all funding sources on board and bring everybody to the table. We need to make sure that this project goes forward. And thank you, Sarah, for being the one on this. And we need to bring it home, because we could go with the Department of Defense. We could, because it could be one of the strategic places for them. It's also our food source. I mean, if something happens, if we have a earthquake or so many Alaskan things, that is the number one port that brings in our food. Department of Transportation, it is the Marine Highway. It is for, so they could bring in projects, and it's also tourism. I mean, it's the number one thing. So all of these things and all of these reasons, it is the number one thing that we need to do, and we need to train, maybe bring up the young women, train them in these marine arts, train them with the skills needed, and let's move forward.
Thank you, Ginger. Louis, the same question about the Homer Large Vessel Port expansion. As a representative, what would you do to move it forward?
Well, this is another instance where it really, it's really important to have a lawmaker in Juneau representing the district that's going to vote for budgets. We can't rely solely on Senator Stevens to get the funds necessary for the port expansion and the studies. As a lawmaker, the first thing I would do is support a strong budget and work through the capital budget process to bolster funding there. But I would also work with the governor's office to get the governor and other lawmakers to work on capital funding and from Washington, D.C., and work with our congressional delegation, because I think there's a significant amount of infrastructure money that's available, and Alaska needs to aggressively go after that. I don't believe the current administration is working hard enough to access funding for infrastructure projects. So I would definitely work hard with the administration to pressure them into going forward and seeking those grants.
Thank you, Louie. You're listening to the candidate debate on KSRM for District 6. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll be back with more of your questions.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Good afternoon again, everybody. Meryl Sikorsky with the District 6 candidates, Ginger Bryant, Louie Flora, and Sarah Vance, answering questions of special interest to the southern end of the peninsula. They will be representative. Louie, you will go first on this question. What are your ideas for sustaining our halibut, salmon, and crab fisheries?
Well, we need to really attack the bycatch issue, and we need to make sure the governor hears that loud and clear in his appointments to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council and is picked for Commissioner of Fish and Game, who's also a voting member of the council. They need to be Alaska first, and they need to have, you know, as part of their value system, that we're going to be protecting our coastal economies and our nearshore fisheries and not siding with the Seattle Amendment 80 trawl fleet. We need to really take a hard look at the damage that's been done with the trawl bycatch on in combination with changing ocean conditions due to climate change. And so we would work with the governor to appoint the appropriate people that can tackle the issue. And we would also need to put a lot more money into the university system and scientific research.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. You seem to be agreeing with Louie on this. What are your ideas about sustaining our halibut, salmon, and crab fisheries?
You know, I'm going to have to concur on a lot of that about what the bycatch and on the appointees to the NPFMC. I penned a letter to the council on the Amendment 80 fleet to implement the abundance-based management on halibut bycatch that was supported by 27 bipartisan bicameral members of the legislature, and that got a lot of attention. And I was able to have conversations with the governor about this. But we also need to have more accountability with the Board of Fish and also let our biologists manage according to the science. That's something that I've been hearing from fishermen all over, from the Cook Inlet all the way to Prince William Sound. And we are at the place that we can no longer just sit back and say, well, we're going to take a look at it. We have to be making in-season decisions that allow people to fish, but also looking at what we can do to make sure that we are building that resource for the future.
Thank you, Sarah. And Ginger Bryant, on the same issue of halibut, salmon, and crab fisheries.
Well, I think this is a really good example of how we all have the same view and we're all in the circle together. Our environment has got to be maintained in such a way that it will be plentiful for the future of our kids and their kids to come, and we have to be good stewards of the resource. Now, honestly, this is not my part of the wheelhouse. This is not where I'm strongest at. I'm more in people and conflict resolution and coming together. But here's what I know how to do. I know how to get a group of people together and get the best ideas out of them. And as everybody here tonight has said, science will lead the way. Bycatch is an issue. We have freezers that are not full. We have people that the crab industry and everything, it's our very own Alaska way of life is on the ropes here, and we have to get back to sustainable fishing. Bycatch has got to be minimized, and we have to follow the science, period.
Okay. Thank you. Coming back to Sarah for this question, the Kenai Peninsula just passed three major bond propositions: school maintenance, a new fire station, and a field house. Will you support the legislature reimbursing some of those bond funds?
You know, I have a lot of mixed emotions about this because I believe that we should keep our word as a state. But we have also made it clear that we are in a position that we are no longer able to continue to pay for the debt that the school districts continue to impose. And this last session, the school districts not only got the full school bond debt reimbursement, but also the, quote, back pay that was cut from them in the previous years. And I think that was kind of an opportunity to reset, but it's not something that I would encourage in the future, because when you look at the permanent fund dividend, that is at least $50 million that was cut out of the borough this year alone. And then encouraging more debt in the future that the state's going to pay, it just doesn't equal out for a benefit for the people. So I would like to minimize future school debt reimbursement in the long run.
Thank you. And Ginger Bryant, on the same issue of debt reimbursement from the legislature for the bond propositions.
If I'm elected as your legislator, I am going to be an amazing advocate, and I have a part in me that's pretty good at resource seeking, and I would not be the best advocate I could be if I wasn't trying to get every dollar for my district that I can have. And education to me is primary and important, and I think every child and every person in Alaska needs to be educated to the best of their ability, and I would be all for funding it. And if I can bring more resources into District 6, that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you. And Louis, would you support legislative reimbursement on the bonds issue?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's a commitment that we make as a state to help with the bond debt reimbursement. You know, there's a significant backlog of deferred maintenance in the state, including the education system. And we really need to get our fiscal house in order so we can start working on deferred maintenance and have strong capital budgets again. You know, again, like I said, budgets matter, and you need someone in Juneau that can really strongly represent the district and looking at capital appropriation items that, you know, that can help, you know, maintain our healthy communities. So I think I'm definitely in favor of maintaining our schools and making sure that they're safe for our children.
Okay, thank you. Back to Ginger Bryant to take this question first. Any ideas how to help senior citizens with fixed incomes handle inflation and high medical costs?
Well, this is definitely a very tender issue, and we definitely need to help our seniors. I have several friends who live in senior housing in the Homer area, and they tell me that their electric bills can be $400 to $500. They have one-bedroom homes. And I have no idea why we don't have grants and things getting them on lower income gas and lower income fuels. We have to really be sure that we are not creating an environment where people who have worked and served and been part of our community are etched out for those who have more resources and would like to. We have to create communities where we are all ready to accept the responsibility of our elders and our children. And even though the elders and the children aren't the big resource seekers or the big resource makers, we have to take care of them. And the seniors, we have to do a better job. Thank you.
Thank you. And Louis Bryant, any ideas on how to help senior citizens and fix incomes, handle the inflation and high costs and medical costs? Did I get your last name wrong, Louis?
You call me Flora. Louis Bryant.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Louis Flora.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that the full permanent fund dividend is really critical for our seniors on fixed incomes. And so we need to work to ensure that we have a solution for the PFD so we can get that out annually. And I think that's going to be on the table next year in terms of looking at a 50%, constitutionalizing a 50% draw of the percent of market value of the permanent fund. And so, there's a lot of senior benefit programs. Again, voting for budgets is critically important for our district to protect seniors and not have, you know, issues like closing the Department of Motor Vehicle, you know, proposals such as that would directly and severely harm our senior citizens in the Homer area. So I'm glad to have support from a large senior organization in Homer, and I would definitely work to create an office of a senior citizens ombudsman in the legislature. I think that there needs to be accountability and transparency in the programs that affect seniors.
And Sarah Vance, our seniors are having to do more with less. Any ideas on how to help those on fixed incomes?
You know, that's something that all of us are facing, but the seniors are especially feeling that right now. And I've been supportive of maintaining the senior property tax exemption, senior benefits. Obviously, I've been a fighter for the full statutory PFD according to the historical formula. But what we can do to help our seniors right now is continuing to donate to the local food banks. And I've been working to make sure that our food banks between Homer and Kenai are filling in the gaps in between Anchor Point and Anilchik and Kisilov that often get overlooked. But we can help them right now by doing wellness checks and checking in on them, making sure that they're eating. And we also have heating assistance programs and benevolence programs with our fuel services and Homer Electric that I was just asked yesterday at the senior center of if they could donate to them locally. You can donate to those organizations individually, and they do have a benevolence program for people in need.
Thank you, Sarah. And Sarah Vance, you go first on this next question as well. Big sigh. Proposed solution to paying a PFD dividend and yet funding necessary state services all within a balanced budget.
I was elected on a full statutory PFD, reducing the size and scope of government and finding government efficiencies. I have supported legislation that is doing that we can modernize our system and do things better. But right now we are facing a higher inflation. That's the rising cost. But I think that we can still look for ways to do government better and reduce those costs. And there's clearly some areas that government just needs to get out of the way and get back to the private sector. So I believe that's possible, but we are going to have to be making some hard decisions in the future. And I believe that I'm well up for the task.
Thank you. Louis, on the PFD, I'm sure you've been asked this question a whole lot out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you. I think we're well suited with looking at reducing the deductible tax credits for North Slope legacy fields, Prudhoe and Kaparik, which we're hemorrhaging out about $1 billion a year on that program to incentivize development that's already occurring. So I think we need to rein that in. That's a big, expensive government program. And I think it's a false choice then that we have to cut government to the bone or have a full PFD. And we can do both, and we have to do both for the citizens of Alaska. And so I think that's where we start, is that gaining new revenue to the tune of $1 billion and then coming up with a durable fiscal plan that includes constitutionalizing the PFD.
And Ginger Bryant, your position on the dividend, please.
On the dividend, I believe that we should go back to the percent of market value, where 50% goes back to the services that we all use and that we all share, and then 50% of it goes for our own personal use to decide how we need to fund our lives and have it go forward. Because those were in Jay Hammond, he made it so we could benefit from them, because those are our resources that are being used to fund that program. So that is a community way to fund us, and then also for our personal use. And I believe in getting the oil subsidies reversed so we can have that money. And that is what we need to do so we can fully fund our forward movement. Thanks.
Thank you. These are your candidates for District 6, Ginger Bryant, Louis Flora, and Sarah Vance. Louis, your 30-second closing remark, please.
Well, thanks again for having me, and I'm really excited to be running in this race. I appreciate everyone that's stepped up to run. It's not an easy job. And I think that there's just a lot at stake moving forward with the fiscal plan, finally getting some stability to our fiscal situation and our economy, and protecting seniors and our young people. And so I think I'm looking forward to serving you in Juneau. Thank you.
And Sarah Vance, your closing remarks for 30 seconds, please.
Yeah, well, I'm Sarah Vance. It's been a pleasure serving you these last 4 years. I have not changed in what you first elected me to do 4 years ago, and that is to defend the full statutory PFD, reduce the size of government, and uphold the rule of law. I continue to fight for you on every issue, and I love hearing from you and will continue to be your voice.
And Ginger Bryant, your final statement.
Thank you. This is Ginger Bryant, and I would be an incredible person to have in your House of Representatives, because I would bring my comp, make sure that all Alaskans are at least heard and have an opportunity to bring their puzzle piece to fill out the entire picture. And I'm here for all Alaskans, especially those in District 6. And I would be a good legislator for you. Thanks.
Thanks to our candidates for stepping up and running for office in a country where we can elect our government. We appreciate your service and all of those who have sacrificed to keep our freedoms. You've been listening to KSRM's Candidate Forum. Coming up after the top of the hour, ABC News will be Senate District C and the candidates Heath Smith and Walter Jones and Gary Stevens will be in our candidate forum at that time. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you voting. The polls are open. You can vote early or you can vote next Tuesday. And again, thanks to the system that allows us, people who will represent us and do the job of government in Alaska.